You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
The West Australian Legislative Council passed a new Aboriginal Heritage Bill amid concerns and outcries, as this bill appears to put the interests of mining companies above the wishes of traditional owners. Now, in an article published in The Conversation, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people legal expert, Associate Professor Hannah McGlade from Curtin Law School, highlighted the bill's shortcomings and its violation of Aboriginal human rights. Dr. Hannah McGlade, this bill comes a little after the destruction of the Juukan Gorge Aboriginal Heritage Sites by Rio Tinto and a subsequent Senate inquiry which passed recommendations to ensure this kind of thing never happens again.
Yes, it's only been just over a year since Rio Tinto destroyed an ancient cave here in West Australia, 46,000 years of connection to the local people, and a Senate inquiry looking into that, calling for stronger laws and protections that were consistent with human rights and the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. West Australia has not got this right at all, and against the opposition of the Aboriginal Land Councils and the prescribed body corporates and many people is progressing to pass the bill in the Legislative Council, and it has the clear majority of government to do that.
And you say that this bill gives a lot of rights to mining companies. They can appeal. They've got a lot of leverage. And yet, really, traditional owners have no say, no means of mechanism to appeal the decisions and the laws that will be passed.
The traditional owners have a right to negotiate with the mining company or developer about the site and how it should be protected, or what should happen to it. But if there's no agreement able to be reached, the minister has the final decision and can approve the damage and destruction of cultural heritage sites. And the real issue here is the track history of the minister in approving consistently applications made by mining companies and developers. It appears that a mining company may never have been refused permission to damage and destroy a heritage site in West Australia.
And yet a Senate inquiry report into the Juukan Gorge that we were talking about a moment earlier had called for a new national framework of Aboriginal heritage protection co-designed with the Aboriginal people.
Yes, the West Australian government is absolutely aware of the Senate inquiry and the important recommendations. It was handed down a few months ago, and WA had been undertaking the process around the new bill and reforming and developing it, but clearly it should be now, it should now only continue consistently with this Senate inquiry and with the standards under international human rights law, in particular respecting the right of Indigenous people to free prior informed consent. That is not respected in the bill because it is the minister who can decide to destroy Aboriginal cultural heritage sites, as he always has been able to do. And we say that there is entrenched racial discrimination in this bill as well.
And despite the recommendations of the Senate inquiry, were there other attempts at least to include traditional owners, land councils and so on? And what happened in that process?
There were consultations, but this hasn't been a properly co-designed process. So at the end of the consultations, the Aboriginal traditional owners and cultural leaders have made it very clear that they feel they just haven't been listened to. They want to see a better legislation, and they want it, it known that at the end of the day, if a site is of such significance that they say it cannot be damaged, then that has to stand. And that's absolutely appropriate. We don't bulldoze and destroy religious European sites in our country. They're protected. The heritage of non-Indigenous people is given far greater protection than that afforded to Indigenous people. And it's clearly racial discrimination and modern racism in law.
The next recourse now will be the United Nations. So outside the realm of the Australian legalities, now going beyond that, have to appeal now to the United Nations for that to be reversed or corrected, or I don't know how to put it.
An appeal was made to the United Nations Committee on Race Discrimination in early September of this year, and the committee responded on Friday, Human Rights Day, and they've agreed to intervene in this matter. They're invoking the formal rules attached to their charter under the UN, and they're requiring an official response from the Australian government to the claims that we've made that this is indeed a breach, serious violation of the Convention on the Elimination of Race Discrimination. The committee has also importantly decided that the Australian government should be working with an expert body called the Expert Mechanism on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, which is within the Office of the High Commission of Human Rights, to ensure that a proper reflection of human rights law pertaining to Indigenous people is being reflected in Australian laws and policies.
And you also write that the state's relationship with Aboriginal people is just deteriorating, no major improvement, especially when it comes to its constitutional arrangements or systems of governance.
Yes, this has really illustrated that symbolic changes to constitutions and commitments to reconciliation can prove to be very hollow at the end of the day. And as I underlined in the conversation piece, the mining industry has had quite a strong presence in West Australia, and Aboriginal people have really suffered as a result. This is clearly about the money that's involved from mining and the revenue to the state. West Australia actually had a $6 billion surplus. So it's exceeding any other state in the country because of the mining revenue. But this is Aboriginal people's lands. This is culture. This is people's culture and identity. And there needs to be a balance here. But, yes, we're not seeing, hollow reconciliation gestures, even in the Constitution, prove to be anything of real value or worth in terms of upholding and respecting Indigenous rights.
Yeah. Before I let you go, Dr. Hannah McGlade, just can you wrap this up for us and synthesize the main message to take away from this and violations of human rights? I'll just put it, it's just not just mining rights. It's what goes way beyond that.
Yes. And this Australia was founded in violence and abuse to Indigenous people. Land was taken and stolen without treaty or agreement. People are suffering today because there hasn't been a proper reparations process. There hasn't been a constitutional law reform to properly respect Aboriginal people's rights in this country. And we're not able to even have a strong voice here. We're just getting shouted down by a state government who says it knows best. And this is paternalism at its worst. It shouldn't be happening. And it's a very sad and wrong reflection on Australia today, particularly the West Australian government, which has a name for being racist in its treatment to Aboriginal people. So the United Nations and the international human rights law has to be invoked. And as Indigenous people, we're going to continue standing up for rights to culture because without culture and heritage, we're no longer Aboriginal people.
Dr. Anna McGlade, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.